May 19th, 2007, you're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 80!
Something, Tantan. Something tragic.
Which direction we are going, there's no knowing where we're rowing, or which way the river's flowing. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is a hurricane a-blowing? Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
Make him stop, Danny!
Hooker, does he go far enough?
Quite right, sir. Stop the boat!
God's an astronaut. Ours is over the rainbow. And Midian's where the monsters live. And you came to die.
Everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us. Nice to have you on board. Welcome aboard. You may now enter. I got nothing. Hey, how's it going? This is the Film, Television, and Pop Culture Podcast. Yes, that's right. Steven's not here again. He's still missing somewhere in Oahu, but that's okay. He'll be back next week. But I do have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hello.
How are you doing today, sir? How are you doing this week?
I am fantastic. It's been a wonderful week. It's beautiful outside.
It's good to have you here, Bill. I haven't been able to get a hold of you all week. What you been doing?
Oh, just work around the house. Little here, little there. Some gardening, some cleaning.
Spring cleaning, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Vanessa, hey, the Mulberry Newswoman. How are you doing, Vanessa?
Well, great.
It's good to have you back, Vanessa. We had a great week of television, and we can't wait to get into that. But before we go any further, guys, just hold up there, Bill and Vanessa. We have a special guest, the return of Andy from the Hollywood Saloon. How are you doing, Andy?
Well, besides a wee case of the runs, I'm doing just fine.
Oh, it's good to hear.
Teflon Clorox for that?
Hey, Foggy, can you get our guests some Imodium?
I use it all the time.
How you doing, Andy?
Very well. How are you doing, Mr. J. Stram?
Doing fantastic. It's great to have you back. Welcome to Mulberry, sir.
Thank you for having me, as usual. I love my long journeys to Mulberry.
Now, how did your life change after doing episode 70 of Nowhere Mulberry?
Well, fame and fortune, money, women, drugs, rock and roll.
How come he gets that, but we don't?
I got to say that our Oscar show was one of the biggest downloaded shows we've ever done. So that was a big hit, man.
They just wanted to hear old Marty win an Oscar.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. What was funny is the beginning of that Oscar show was a major pain in the ass because of the sound stuff. And by the time it was over, I had a splitting migraine. But when it was done and I listened to it, it was very entertaining. It was a lot of fun.
Well, remember we had that hideous echo going on, and someone sent us an email saying that I sounded... Well, no, it was the phone message. It sounded like I was taking elephant tranquilizer.
Yeah, that was the mystery man, yeah.
Yeah, that was because I was on the insane echo, so...
Yeah.
You would say a word and then kind of wait for the next one from the echo to pass.
Luckily, halfway through when it finally got fixed? I gotta say that was all Foggy's fault right away. So he sucks.
Always is.
So
I think Foggy actually used to work for Imus.
Yeah. Now, Andy, recently I got an invite from you to this thing called Juiced.
Juiced.
J-O-O-S-T. And what you were like, this is going to change the world or something. And I'd kind of heard about it. Basically, it's TV on the internet.
Yeah, I had heard about it on a local radio show here in Houston. And it sounded really cool. I didn't know what it was. And he said, you know, send me an email and I'll send you an invite. So I did it, just checked it out. It was really exciting because it's just like, you know, television on your TV, but, you know, not YouTube or anything.
Television
on your computer, you know, and you get that interface and there's all these different channels. Everything's on demand.
Are there commercials or?
Yeah, there's little short little things, but it's basically like cable on your computer where you can, you know, there isn't a lot of extreme content on there. There's a lot of stuff on there, but not everything you'd want to watch.
Considering it's still in beta test, I think that the future of it is really promising. Once you get a bunch of bigger people involved, you know, networks and whatnot,
it's pretty impressive. I mean, they have a lot of cool National Geographic things on there. They have a lot of cool videos. They have music from all over the world on there.
That's my favorite. It's like they got the Indian channel, you know, from India, and it's like...
My favorite is IMF UK. It was really cool. Showed a lot of cool bands on there. You know, it'll be really cool once they get, like, the Food Channel or something like that on there. They get some sci-fi shows.
The only problem I have with it is it's not, like, actual live streaming television. It's episodes that are streamed to your, you know, to your computer. Like, I watched every single G.I. Joe.
Awesome.
Every single G.I. Joe that they have. They don't have all of them, but they have, like, 15 of them. They have a new Transformers that, like, picks up after the movie or something. It's kind of confusing. I think it's Transformers Cybertron. My favorite, though, is what you pointed out there, Jason, the Alliance Atlantis channel for the sci-fi show Space Hunter or something.
Yeah, Space Hunter. No, it's Star Hunter. Yeah, I selected the show as, like, Star Hunter with Michael Paré. What the hell is this? The first thing you see is a pair of bare breasts. Yeah. But you know what? That was it for the rest of the show, and the rest of it was this incoherent sci-fi show.
Yeah.
The battle over Kirk Cameron's bare breast. That's right.
But I thought that was cool. Now, Juiced, if anyone wants to check it out and you need an invite, just email NimPodcast.
Does it cost anything?
It's free.
It's a beta.
It's still in beta, so you can just check it out and see what it's like.
If they started charging for it like they do for that Gamefly, at this point, I wouldn't pay for it.
It's like a cool novelty. I messed with it all day the day I got it, and I haven't really messed with it much since. But there's some cool stuff on there.
Well, once there's more content, I think it'll be a lot more fun to mess with. And I think
they also need to improve the quality of the video. Because if you watch anything that has a lot of fast-moving action, it pixelates a ton.
Yeah, that didn't bother me too much because I expected that, you know?
Right.
But if they could improve it, that would be a plus.
Well, if they could use, like, a better codec that can... I'm sure they could.
Because they're aiming at people with... You don't have to have a supercomputer to run it kind of thing.
They need to make it a little easier to use in a window. Because the smaller the window, the better it looks. And whenever they make you watch it full screen, it looks like garbage.
Now, listen to all the complaining.
Yeah.
Free beta.
It's free.
It's free beta. The guy who invented it is like, well, damn, geez, forget it. Hey, if you don't have cable or something, you'll love this. You're on the internet all the time. There's old episodes of News Radio, one of the greatest sitcoms ever. They've got old Starsky and Hutch on there.
Oh, awesome.
It's totally wicked. Now, Andy, what's going on with the Hollywood Saloon lately? What are you guys working on?
Oh, we just been getting some episodes that we've had in the can for a while, trying to get them finished, trying to get that last Bond show.
You're still working on that.
Will I ever finish
the infamous Bond episode?
Bond.
Now, what the hell? How did you guys feel about Casino Royale? Will I ever know?
Exactly.
Casino Royale. I mean, the next Bond film's going to be up before.
Casino Royale will be premiering on ABC by the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Daniel Craig won't even be Bond anymore.
Yeah.
No.
So, Andy.
Like Peter O'Toole.
Casino Royale, thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you got?
Way thumbs up.
All right. Hey, I know. I don't need to hear it now. Awesome. Now, I did hear your Spider-Man review, and
yes.
I didn't get all the way through it, and here's why.
Because it was boring.
No, that's not true. Something happened. I think my MP3 died. I'm really bad about not charging it up, and all of a sudden I'll be like, what the hell just happened? And it'll be dead.
That's a really good excuse. I need to use that more.
It's retribution for all the times you asked me if I had heard a certain section of your show, and I'm like, oh, no, sorry, I fell asleep listening.
Yeah, you always say that I fell asleep, and I'm like...
Well, I take my MP3 player to bed with me. So.
Hey, I take mine to bed with me, too.
I fall asleep to the soothing sounds of Nowhere in Mulberry.
Now, Andy, I got to tell you something. One thing your show needs to do... Here's my advice to you, the way to improve your show, voicemail. You need to have voicemail.
Hey, it's a good idea.
It's really awesome. I'd love to hear what Brock has to say about your latest episode.
And speaking of, what did Brock have to say about our latest episode?
Well, we'll get to that. But guys, we got some voicemail. Let's check it out. The first one is from Steven, and it's kind of strange. I don't know what the hell's going on with Steven. Let's check it out.
Guys, it's me, PCZ Steven. I got a signal again. The fog's getting thinner towards the middle, it seems. My God, who is that? Tom!
That is the worst acting I've ever heard.
Wow.
I'd like to know what he's watching on TV in the background.
No, Bill, he's in the jungle somewhere.
He's watching.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot.
He's in Juiced.
Yeah, he's watching Juiced on his computer. Yeah, I'm in the jungle. Oh, hey,
watching
News Radio.
Hey,
in the jungle, I'm lost, but the damn screen is pixelated.
Pixelized News Radio, awesome.
Damn it, yeah. Damn beta. I like how he says, this is PCZ Steven, like we wouldn't know who the hell he was. He just said, this is Steven.
Well, at the end there, he saw Tom or something. I don't know what's going on.
Ooh, Tom Skerritt.
Tom Jones. What's up, Pussycat? Whoa!
You're Glenn. You don't even know what Ritalin is.
Ah, it's Tom Cruise. Okay, guys, we got another voicemail. Let's check it out. Let's see who this is from.
Hi, guys. This is Brock. I'm not sure if I'm going to make the next show
after
the last one, but if not, fine. This comment may be a little late. But unfortunately, I'm not calling out of compliment. I am calling out of some, I guess to give you a little bit of criticism.
Oh,
you know how much I love the show, and you know how much I am a big fan. I listen every single week. But the last couple of weeks, when Vanessa has been on, you guys have been mean to her. If
here
I was my husband, Eugene, I would totally go off on you guys. Now, look, you guys... I'm sure you guys have a great relationship with Vanessa and all that kind of stuff, but it
yes.
just seems to me that you guys just, you know,
tight
you're
bond.
Digging on her too much. And Foggy, dude, what is with the, like, insane amount of drops during her segments? I don't hear those drops, that many drops during other people's. All
Thank
I'm
you.
Saying is, guys, play off Vanessa. If you're so much a rough time for not showing up, which does show off, you know... Enjoy your company. She adds an element to the show that is not there. You know?
Vanessa, I got to say right here, we do enjoy your company. I don't know what he's talking about. And also, do we seem mean to you?
Yes, you're always mean to me.
But
really?
Well, yeah, exactly. We've always been
to
mean
it.
To her.
Do you think
yes.
Foggy plays too many drops during the
Yes.
news?
Well, hell, Foggy plays a gazillion drops during my stuff when I do DVDs or...
But that's you.
Let's see what else Brock has to say.
I'm mean and love, and I'm just trying to be a show my support for the full Mulberry team. And while I'm at that...
Thanks, Brock.
Shame on Steven.
Huh?
You know, look,
huh?
Man, I understand, you know, you weren't in a place where they had a movie theater playing Spider-Man 3, which I don't believe you.
Wait. What is he talking about?
I have no idea.
Steven saw Spider-Man 3 with me.
Yeah.
And you say he didn't see it?
The episode where we talked about it, Steven wasn't here. Remember, he was at some kind of family. Oh, Bill, I think I know what he's talking about. He's talking about you, I think. You were in Seattle and you said it wasn't around. They're showing Grindhouse at the local theater or something.
Well, I said I didn't know where it was playing. I wanted to see it at the Cinerama, but the Cinerama was playing Grindhouse, and I would probably see it at one of the Landmark theaters.
Oh, let's see.
But,
I'm very confused. What about you, Andy? Yeah. You confused too?
Hey, yay.
Playing it near where I was. Yeah, dude, come on. It's playing everywhere. It's even playing, you know, on every screen in New York, every 15 minutes. And, let me say this clearly so I get my point across.
Brock is so angry today.
You have a weekly pop culture show. You not seeing it and say, I'll talk about it next week when I see it.
See, I think he's talking about you, Bill, but Bill, you were in another state you don't even live at,
well,
so you don't know where theaters are.
Well, okay, it came out that Friday. I was on a plane Thursday. I slept almost all of Friday. We did the show Saturday night, and then I went out on a date. Yeah, I went out with somebody in Seattle.
Interesting.
And saw it. And then, yeah, so I wouldn't have been able to talk about it, but I talked about it the following week.
Yeah, okay.
You need to talk about it. What are you, Hollywood Saloon? I mean, come on.
Whoa, what was that?
What was that?
You have a weekly pop culture show. You not seeing it and say, I'll talk about it next week when I see it. I mean, you can't wait to talk about it. What are you, the Hollywood Saloon?
Oh,
I mean, you're on top of things. You guys talk about a weekly show.
Kicked off the forums.
I just thought that was inexcusable.
What was that, Andy?
Kicked off the forums, Brock. Banned.
Wow.
He's
out. Okay,
he's
just having a little fun with y'all and hope everything is well in Mulberry. And
he says all those horrible things. So, hey, having fun with you.
Great one. Talk to you soon.
Don't mind the bleeding. Just put a little gauze up there.
Well, thanks a lot, Brock. It's good to have you rib us every once in a while, but I'm more confused than ever. See, you get voicemails like that if you do them on the Saloon.
Sounds great.
It's him.
Yeah, I want that.
But sometimes we get really good voicemails where people just, I mean, they praise our show, and it embarrasses me. I'm like, wow. I mean, Andy, you've done it before. You sent us a voicemail where you're like, you love the show. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, I love that, but it's also like, wow, you know, I'm kind of like blush and stuff. Like, for instance, I got this voicemail, and I was just like, wow, this is like the ultimate compliment, and let's just check it out. It's really cool.
Hi, guys. Big fan of the show. I love Nowhere Mulberry. I've been listening since episode one when Steven talks about a helicopter crashing, and I really like the show and stuff. But I've noticed one thing, that you guys need an ad campaign or something like that. Something where you could get the word out about
Mulberry. Is that your gay
cousin,
Jason?
Because I ask all my friends, I'm like, did you listen to this week's Mulberry? And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like,
sleeping.
Yeah, I get that a lot. So I come up with some ideas. First of all, what do you guys think of, Brown Coats? They kind of put Serenity and made it a big hit movie. They did a street campaign. They did graffiti on walls about go to see Serenity, and they did screenings and stuff like that.
Screenings.
Well, here's my idea. The Mulberry Sundays. Okay, we're the Mulberry Sundays. And we're like the army of mulberries, and we pass out flyers, we tag on city streets about listen to Nowhere Mulberry, nowheremulberry.com,
Isn't it Mulberry,
just,
not Walberry?
All sorts of things that infer that you get more listeners because I really want this show
Holy
to
shit,
do
my
well
ears are
because
bleeding.
I really like it. I think you guys should be on satellite radio or something like that, like
well,
Sirius.
Thank you. That's very nice.
Or not XM, but I heard Sirius is actually going to assimilate XM, kind of like the Borg in Star Trek.
Awesome.
You guys never talk about Star Trek, by the way.
Oh my god.
Hey. What if God was one of us? Just a fur like one of us. Something crash under a bus.
Well, thanks for the voicemail. Thanks for your kind comments.
I can see why you blushed.
Didn't that guy call him before? The guy who got really pissed off?
Apparently, he's listening
Sounds
to the
like
show
it.
Again.
Yeah.
I love that guy. Hey, no matter, he's trying to help us. Get the Mulberry Sundays going. I want to see the leather jackets with like a picture of a sundae on the back. It'd be
that
genius.
Would rock.
And a scarf in the back pocket.
Now,
like an ascot.
Andy, what do you say we check out entertainment? How'd you like to do that?
Love it.
All right, guys. Shrek the Third came out today. How excited are you guys about that? It's pretty much the same reviews I read for Shrek 2, where it's like, cash in.
What happened to Mike Myers, that poor bastard?
I'm telling you that he's the Antichrist.
I've never really cared for him very much.
I've loved Mike Myers. I thought the first Wayne's World was great.
I married an axe murderer.
Hilarious, yes. I love the Austin Power movies. I thought they were really funny. Maybe one too many, but I love the first one. The first one's a classic. You gotta admit.
Definitely.
Now, I don't know what's happened to him lately, but he's getting a lot of money for these, so how can you blame him, right? How soon till the Dieter movie?
Dieter. Touch my monkey.
Would you like to touch my monkey?
Liebe touch him, is your ash monkey. Love him, touch him.
I don't know what's worse, the character or people impersonating the character.
Yeah, that's what I know. The reason I would call someone like him the Antichrist is because he's the creator of those one-liners everyone says, like, yeah, baby, or... Not swing, yeah, like that. And Jim Carrey was the same way. So whatever with that. But guys,
I think my two favorite characters are his are the ones that he's never done movies of. Are the one there was the Simon where he's in a tub.
Yeah, yeah.
Always, like the bum looker, you cheeky monkey.
I like draw
rings, and then the hyper kid that can't eat chocolate and he's
oh yeah,
to
I remember
the,
that.
Didn't he also come up with Toonces, the driving cat?
I don't know.
Now, Andy, what do you think? Are we mean to Vanessa is what I want to know. You're an outside, you're neutral ground. What do you think?
I figure she's your sister and you picked on her your whole life.
Foggy. Yeah.
So you can.
What? I picked on her whole life? What?
So I figure.
Always have.
Hey, Vanessa, here's right. some nails. Why don't you go nail yourself to that cross over there? And Mel Gibson can make a movie about you. Now, the movie I'm really excited about, Bill, is Transformers the Movie, directed by one of the greatest directors of all time, Michael The Rock Bay. Michael Bad Boys Bay. Michael The
Armageddon
Island Bay.
Bay.
Yeah. It almost sounds like Pig Latin. Michael Armageddon Bay.
It does.
Now, Andy, you do the Hollywood Saloon, and just tell me your thoughts on Michael Bay.
Michael Bay.
Where does he begin?
Genius!
I gotta say, you know, Mike Myers, sorry about that, but actually Michael Bay, people have actually called him the Antichrist.
Well, there can be more than one.
Yeah, there's multiples.
No, there can be only one.
He's kind of like the Milton Fine in Smallville last season. There's multiples of them.
Yes.
And they're all like the T-1000 knives and stabbing weapons.
Weapons! Say, all right, let's say it five times in a row and get it out of our system. One
knives and stab. Oh, sorry.
Weapons. Knives
and stabbing weapons.
Weapons. Stabbing weapons. Come on, I'm here. Do it. Come on. Do it.
He didn't see me. That's my favorite part of the whole movie. The Predator comes out of the water. Arnold Schwarzenegger is covered in mud. The predator looks around and he walks away, and then it's still for a second. He goes, "He didn't see me." Okay, audience, in case you weren't paying attention. Wah, wah, wah. Now, anyway.
Stabbing weapons.
Back on track here. Transformers the movie. They just came out with a new trailer, Bill. You sent it to me. I thought it looked pretty cool.
Looks good.
I told you I had a lot of fear about it. And what that is like the island. You could make a reel of the island look cool. But when you sit through the movie, I had a migraine.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, I totally understand that. But I'm sorry to cut you off. But to see Starscream like flying through the air and then go sideways and transform, and I was just like, whoa.
In a wet dream.
I can understand that, but that will get old after. Like...
No, it won't. It's never old. Because I watched that thing times, and I'm like a giddy schoolgirl. I cannot wait. I love Transformers.
His nostalgia nads are kicking.
Okay,
they are, because immediately after that, I started watching my Rhino sets of it, of the original Generation 1 Transformers, and then I went online and bought like a full set of it from China. It's like I'm freaking out because I didn't think I would, you know, because at first I was like, oh, Michael Bay.
You're setting yourself up for disappointment, my friend.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
No, what you're doing, you're watching the cartoons, you're getting all nostalgic, you're ready, and then you're going to see it, and it's nothing like the Transformers, and you're going to go, what the hell has Michael Bay done to the thing I love?
Doesn't matter. It looks damn cool.
Okay, we'll wait.
If the entire movie was just them doing transformations, you know, roll out, you know, stuff like that.
Wouldn't the audience go, what the hell is this crap? Like,
he wants transformable.
Oh, Billy.
Yeah, I'm totally there.
So if it's Optimus Prime, he transforms and he makes like a sandwich for like 30 minutes.
That's awesome. Like an Energon cube sandwich? I'd eat it.
Yeah, what if they don't even mention Energon cubes? They're just like, they call them power cubes in the movie. Would that annoy you?
No.
Yes?
Yes, it would. You're lying. That would drive you nuts.
You're not a real fan.
What if they, well.
Speechless.
I've got plenty of issues with it, but when I saw that trailer and I saw Starscream.
Okay,
I, like,
what if there's a Transformers Aerosmith song at the beginning?
Awesome. You gotta fight more than meets the eye. You've got the power.
As long as Stan Bush is involved.
No, Stan Bush isn't involved. It's Aerosmith. Don't wanna close my eyes.
What about Vince DiCola?
No, he's not involved in the film. I mean, they've already. Come on, Bumblebee's a Camaro. Does that bother you?
No.
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, Bumblebee.
It's got Tyrese in it, for Christ's sakes. It's got the guy from Las Vegas in it.
Yeah, it's Tyrese and Josh Duhamel.
I can see it right now. Okay, guys, we're watching Transformers. They just had a cool scene with Shia LaBeouf talking to a Bumblebee. Cut to Tyrese and guy from Las Vegas, and they're like, hey, what are these Transformers? And you hear a collective, from the entire theater.
What the hell is with the Megatron in the bunker?
Yeah, well, Michael Bay saw Independence Day, and he was like, that's a good idea. The Transformer fell to Earth years ago, and he's in Area 51. Seen it, done it, been there, done that.
And what does he turn into in this movie?
He doesn't turn into a gun, does he, Andy?
What?
Very small rocks.
He turns into a different kind of jet, I think, a spaceship. I think that I will come out liking the film because I have such just... I think it's going to suck ass, and Bill thinks it's going to really rock, so... Tune in July 6th or whatever after we see the film.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the other movie that I'm not looking forward to is the Len Wiseman Live Free or Die Hard.
Now, why is that?
Because it's going to be
PG-13. Because I love the first one so much. And,
yeah, what the hell is
like...
that? Why is it PG-13?
Yeah. They're,
the freaking going... MPAA guy dropped dead. Do we need to have the rating system anymore? On the trailer, he says, Yippee-ki-yay, mother fudger.
You're kidding me.
No, he says, Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
And first of all, what is frickin' Sheriff Bullock is the bad guy from Deadwood? What the hell's
going
on?
Yeah, that guy is not exactly the best actor. He's the same character in every movie I've ever
seen. Tim Oliphant is the bad guy. Hey, but you know what? Die Hard, I will go see that. It may just rock. You never know.
We'll be there.
Here's my theory about why Underworld, the second one, he married his leading lady. Now all of a sudden she's like, what? The camera sun might look better over there, and if we put some lights up here, and he's like, oh, crap, I should have recast this part. I saw Die Hard multiple times, and it was rated R, so what does it matter? Why do they need to market a film as PG-13 to let more kids in? They go see it anyway.
Exactly. Look at all the movies that have brought in shitloads of money, and they've been R-rated. 300?
Their parents will take it to them. It's fear. Come on, guys. Everything in Hollywood is based on fear. You know that.
Oh, yeah,
it's
definitely.
Such bullshit, though. I mean, look at 300. Look how much money that made in the first weekend.
But they didn't expect that, and it was a fluke that it made that. That's the exception to
the
rule.
Why wouldn't they expect that? I mean,
no one cares about the rating system. Well, no one.
Except for those Zagnut people, the religious people.
Well, something like Shrek and Spider-Man 3, anyone can go see it, so... But see, that's the thing that kind of blows it out of the way there, is that 300 made so much money it was rated R, so Die Hard could probably make that much money too. I don't know. I don't know about the rating system. I don't know why they even have it, honestly.
All horseshit.
I don't mind it because I don't want to see a bunch of punk-ass teenagers in the theater with me.
But doesn't it bother you that they specifically tried to go in there and clean up their Die Hard movies, considering this is the fourth one, and we've had three previous that have all been rated R, but now this one in particular has to be PG-13?
Yeah,
people purpose. Should expect it to be a certain way, unless they're born right. under a rock.
Yeah, that is pretty... Was Lethal Weapon 4 like that? Was that PG-13?
No, all of them are R.
I think they were R, yeah.
I know the second one they had nudity, but in the fourth one they cussed a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fourth one was a lot of F-moms.
Yeah, like Leo Getz, his character cussed a lot.
What do you think, Andy? We've heard enough from us. Are you going to go see Transformers opening weekend?
No, what I would say is that I, kind of as an assignment for the saloon, you know, maybe, I'm not... See, I didn't grow up with Transformers. My brother was a Transformers freak. Star Wars was my gig, and by the time I was too old for Transformers back the time it came around. So I really don't have the nostalgic connection to it that, like, Bill does, and like my brother does, so, you know... The trailer looks great. It looks like good eye candy, and I know my 4-year-old son really wants to see it.
It looks like something to be cool, kind of sci-fi type stuff. I mean, yeah, I mean, probably too old for it too, but I saw it on the TV and I was like, "Hey, that's pretty cool looking." You know, it's a pretty cool idea.
The trailer that, you know, I mean, flat out, I mean, you know, all pretension and everything aside, the trailer looks fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does look pretty cool. The only thing I worry about with Michael Bay is that it will be essentially
Loki.
The same thing over and over again, and
right.
then I will like have a migraine and go enough.
Well, the point is
well, you know, I don't think Steven Spielberg will let him do that.
Hopefully not. Hopefully he's a toned down Michael Bay.
Anytime in a film with Michael Bay, someone basically opens their mouth, the movie goes down like 2 stars. You know,
oh, true.
When they open a door and it's slow mo for some reason, it's like, huh?
Well, you know what? I would even have to rate Michael Bay a little better than Tony Scott, though.
Oh, let's not get into that.
I told you, put
you
the bull in the bag in the
wall.
I don't know if I'd go that far, Bill. The Rock has been on a lot in HBO lately, and it's been HD. I could sit down and watch it. I can't get through it. I can't watch it anymore.
Name one movie that Michael Bay's directed that's as good as Crimson Tide. You can't.
Well, you know what? You're right. But look, I'm talking like 90s... And later, Tony Scott, like late 90s.
Are you saying that the movie made with Denzel was shit? Not Deja Vu, but...
Man on Fire?
Man on Fire was good.
I thought it was a great movie.
You're judging everything based on...
I hated it.
I'm
serious. I hated Man on Fire. I thought it was...
It's a simplistic story. But it was the kind of thing... It's a very simplistic story, but it's the kind of thing
Give me the original with Scott Glenn.
It was the kind of thing where the style didn't overpower it, like Domino. Where Domino,
I
wanted to throw a brick through the TV.
I got a headache watching Man on Fire.
Mm. Go watch your little baby movies with your little baby TV controller. You have straight little cuts. It makes you feel happy and comfortable.
Yeah, well, I'll go put the core on. There's badass.
What?
I like the core.
The core?
I like the core.
Who directed that?
I like the core. John.
I have no idea.
Badass? Isn't it?
No,
John?
I thought it was. You thought you were saying it was like Tony Scott.
Tony Scott. So.
Hey, but I will say this: Tony Scott. Some films I like by him, like The Great Top Gun.
I won't give Andy Crimson Tide. I think Crimson Tide is quite possibly one of the best, like, suspense films.
Well, what about True Romance? Wow. Okay.
I like True Romance.
Well, Hustler was a great movie.
His best film was Revenge with
Kevin Costner.
Love Revenge. Great. Except for the very end when he's going to get revenge. He goes, you know what? No. And walks away and the movie's over. So I'm like, huh?
You know, there's a new cut of it out now.
Where he kills Anthony Quinn at the end?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's not worth it. I'm out of here.
Well, I know the Blu-ray was just released of it, and I don't know if that has the new cut or not.
What's the Tony Scott film with Will Smith?
Enemy of the State.
Thank you.
Oh, that's another
horrible
film. Yeah, that's another screwdriver in my ear and kill my brain movie.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. It was entertaining.
I like the way that it nods back to The Conversation by Coppola, if you're able to make that connection.
I'd rather watch The Conversation.
I'd rather watch anyone conversate.
I'd rather watch.
Oh, you said conversate. Ugh.
That's right. What you want to say about it?
Oh, I hate when people use that fake word.
Bitch, I'm going to punch your ass in your face.
Oh. Hey, guys, what do you guys say we get into the TiVo? Let's do it.
Hi.
All right, guys, Heroes. Andy, you all cut up on Heroes?
Caught up.
Yes, caught up on the Heroes.
Caught up.
Now, last week, it ended with Peter saying, Claire, you know what to do, and his hands were glowing, and he was going to blow up New York. She had a gun.
Jazz hands.
I'm okay.
Yeah, he had his jazz nuclear hands, and she was going to put a bullet in his brain pan, right? So it was going to all end. It was very scary. It was a great cliffhanger. We didn't know what was going to happen. Cut to this week, and here's what happens.
Claire?
What's he doing?
He's absorbing your ability.
He is?
Stop. Claire, you know what you have to do.
Dance, Claire, dance.
Wait. I'm okay.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
I was like, what?
That was some cliffhanger, wasn't it? Hey, you know what? I'm okay. Don't worry about it. But the part that's so funny there is he goes, Claire, you know what to do. She doesn't hesitate at all to pull the gun out of her. She's like, all right. I don't know you that well. I'm not troubled by this.
Claire, you need to kill me. Wait, I think I'm okay.
I know. I was like, what? How all of a sudden is he okay?
I thought, wouldn't it have been better if Ted goes, now, just relax. Calm down. I've been through this myself. It's okay. You can control this. And then he's like, okay. But instead he's like, oh my God. Oh, no, never mind.
No, you know.
Let's go have lunch, guys.
What you were saying, Ted should have said, you know, hey, calm down. You know, instead he goes, what's he doing?
Ted has gotten control of his power. We've seen that. He can melt doorknobs. He can cause an EMP to burst. All of a sudden, he's a moron in this episode. What happened?
Yeah.
Drugs? I don't know.
So,
Scared of Siler.
He doesn't even know who Siler is. That's another thing. Now, here's the thing. He's like, HRG is like, okay, you guys, you need to just get out of town. Take Ted with you. You guys can blow up New York. Go to Nebraska. And they're like, okay. So they leave. So they're walking down the street.
Blow up in New York.
Go to Jericho.
They're walking down the street and everything is nice and happy. They're kind of casually talking, right? And all of a sudden, Peter hears something. Let's check it out.
You know, I've been thinking after we save the world, I may go on patrol. You know, jumping in front of bullets and dragging people out of burning buildings.
You're not going to catch me wearing a cape, slipping around with my underwear outside my pants.
Why don't we have to rent a car? Can't we just fly to Nebraska in a plane?
The FBI's got my face all over wanted posters. We can get very far.
Ted's a fugitive. I can use that to get his power.
What is it?
Siler. He's here. He's watching us.
Right now?
He knows what Ted can do. We need to get off the streets. Who's Siler?
So they go in, they duck into a Sears, and I guess basically he's telling him who Siler is. Hey, Siler's after you. Let's hang in here for 5 minutes. So then they decide to leave Sears. The coast is clear, and this happens.
So this guy Siler, he kills people like us.
Yeah, to take what we can do.
How does he manage that?
He rips your head open.
I say we stick with the plan, get out of the city.
Now!
Let's go!
There
were two others. Find them. You're under arrest. I'm chasing you all across the country, Ted.
You know I'm not a terrorist.
Do I? You blew up a van full of federal agents in Los Angeles.
But I didn't mean to hurt anybody.
Good. Your next stop, Guantanamo Bay.
I'm going to need a concrete cell. Line with lead. So everyone is safe.
Okay, so here's the thing. He heard Siler say, I'm going to use... Ted is a fugitive. I'm going to use that against him. So they go into a building and then come out 5 minutes later. Did he go, guys, here's what I heard him say. So Ted, he's going to obviously call somebody and get you in trouble. But it seemed like Peter didn't use any of that information.
I know. So the smart one.
So why even have that? I thought it would have been better if, or they didn't even show Siler at all. And all of a sudden the FBI shows up. They take Ted away and you're like, how the hell did they know? They drive away. Claire and Peter, they duck away. Then all of a sudden, she goes, well, thanks for your tip. And he's like, no problem. And it's Siler. And then we go, oh, that jerk. But, but instead, we had Peter read Siler's mind, and then he did nothing about it.
Yeah.
Did that make any sense to you guys?
No, I thought that was weird, too.
It just seemed like, huh? Now, I'll say right now, you guys know I love Heroes, right? We've talked about it all season. Many shows we talk about in the second season, we're like, oh, we'll wait and see what it's like. This one, right away, we knew we liked it, and we started talking about it. Much like Smallville gets better towards the end of the season, I think Heroes, they're cramming too much in the episodes or something. I don't know.
I think they're trying, like you're saying, that they're trying to get it all wrapped up. Like, this should be split up into two seasons, this whole explosion thing.
It's almost like they have a checklist that they're, okay, we're going to fit this, this, and this. And that's okay, except they have scenes like this that make no sense at all to me.
Yeah, well, they're just used to move the plot along. Like, they use that that FBI agent, that Claire or Clay Duvall character. Isn't she based in L.A. where Matt Parkman was, and all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, she's in New York?
Well, another thing is he was telling Ted about Siler. So he's going to say, if you get captured, just know Siler is going to be after you. And, you know, Peter should have known that. Okay, they've got him, but Siler's still going to go after him. That's what he wanted to happen. That whole thing made no sense to me later. And even
whenever Siler did get him and she's walking by the truck, whenever the two guys, what happened to him? And they're going, you don't want to know. It's like, you dumb bitch.
Well, it's like, well, Peter and Claire are in a car, and they're like, what's this traffic jam? Let's get out and see. Oh, no, Ted's dead. Huh?
The only reason that they even bothered with all that crap is because they wanted to have a scene on the trailer where, and it looks pretty cool, you know, when Siler flips his wrist and boom. I mean, I really think they're, you know, just itching for some action scenes.
Yeah, and that was cool. That was cool. But then someone like Ted, he's like, I'm hurt, get help. And he's like, I'll help. It's like, Ted, hello, it's Siler. Did Peter not tell you what he looked like? Did he not explain to you he'd come after you? I would have preferred that Ted just be unconscious when he opens it up and takes his brain instead of that little exchange there.
I have no idea what's going on at this point or why.
Maybe we'll be wowed by the finale. My main problem was just that it seems like the characters are doing things that make no sense. I mean, at least HRG and Matt Parkman have something they're going to do. They're going to go to get that girl, Molly Walker. Is that her name?
Yeah.
They don't know she's a little girl, but they get in there. They have a little exchange with DL and Jessica, which was kind of funny when she says, didn't I throw you out a window? He does something clever with his mind powers to get past the guard about porn or something.
Yeah.
I like stuff like that. That was cool. And they get up there, and one of the best parts is they blow Eric Roberts away.
Yeah, Scott, he looks horrible.
But we don't see that.
Manny!
So... I look, he goes,
Manny.
He goes, tell me what I'm thinking now. Your last thought. Blam, blam. I love that. It was good stuff.
I think he got hit by a runaway train.
Yeah, he looks really bad.
No, you know what? Him and Mickey Rourke have the same...
Motorcycle?
Plastic surgeon.
Yeah, motorcycle. apparently they spar when they box. Let's skip to the end here. Okay, we have the hero stuff where he meets his dad, George Takei, again, and they repair the sword or whatever. Couldn't Hero... A frozen time while they did the sword fighting or something? Because
yeah, that bothered me too.
Couldn't Hero have went back and said, hey, Ando, don't leave him with
my
father
training? Why did Ando get so frustrated and go, I'm going to take a sword and get out of here and I'm going to go kill... What the hell was that about? But I mean, that was cool, the sword fighting stuff. That was fine. I mean...
But he taught him how to sword fight,
20 minutes?
Yeah, but, exactly.
Well, yes, because George Takei is the gay dragon.
What I like to think, Andy, is that they froze time and they actually he taught him sword fight in like a month. That's what that span of time was.
That's sword fighting.
Yes. So, you know what? That didn't bother me, though, when he taught him to sword fight in that sort of amount of time. The Peter stuff did. That didn't. I don't know why.
Sword fighting and Peter?
He could have overheard, you know.
Where's your mind, boy?
He probably would have even overheard Cider like, I'm going to get Ted caught by the FBI. Then I'm going to flick the truck over and take his brain. Then I'll have the power to blow up New York. And he's like, guys, let's duck into the subway and get lunch real quick. It's like, huh?
Peter needs everything spelled out for him before, you know.
He's the dumbest superhero ever. He's a friggin' tool. Now, here's what I love about Siler. Siler knows exactly what he wants to do. He goes and gets powers. He uses those powers. I don't understand the blow-up New York plan, except he's like, it's my destiny. I have no freaking clue. First of all, he's overhearing them talk about this girl, this person has the power to find anyone with special abilities in the world. You would think he'd go, hey, I'm going to ditch this nuclear bomb plan and go for that chick. Wouldn't you think he would do that?
That would make more sense.
But he's like, it's my destiny. Well, I don't know where that comes from.
His mother.
He stabbed her with scissors. I don't understand that either. But I remember reading a Tim Kring interview. He goes, before this is over, you're going to feel sorry for Siler. It's like, no, I'm not.
Let me ask you a question.
Tim Kring got something confused with Crossing Jordan.
Yes, Andy.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, how many times do we have to do the scene in movies and in TV shows where people have some sort of stabbing weapon and and they're close to each other and they're fighting and then you hear shunk and then you don't know who it is?
Yeah.
And they back away slowly and it's the person who you don't think it is and you're like, oh my God.
No.
Yeah, we got that this week.
How many times do we need to do that again? You know, not just having weapons.
And first of all, the way she gets stabbed with the scissors is up high, and he wasn't holding him that high. It made no sense.
He was down low, too slow.
I didn't understand that at all. But anyway, we also have Micah Webster of Heroes, which I love.
Then came you.
And Candace, and he goes and apparently I didn't know this, but all the voting machines in New York are networked together.
Yeah, that's new.
That's a Smallville device right there they use, my friend. But I thought it was interesting. They show her stuffing her face, and Micah's like, how do you stay so skinny? Which a little kid would say. How do you stay so skinny when you stuff your face all the time? He goes, you would think you would be huge. And she goes, I am huge. And one thing, did you guys notice, if you listen closely, when she's walking here, so she's a big porker. It's very interesting. So then DL and Jessica, they go to kill Linderman, and they're just about to get the drop on him. They do. What I love is Jessica does the same thing Clark does on Smallville, where she grabs someone and throw them against the wall across the room. That's how you show how strong you are. You can throw them, physically throw them across the room.
And so much stronger than you, I can throw you.
Yeah. And then he's like, wait a second. You're not going to kill me. You're going to kill your husband because I have this bag of money right here. Check it out. And she's like, maybe I will. But you know what? I don't really want to, so I'm going to let Nikki take over. And then Nikki's there, and she doesn't know what to do, so he goes to shoot him. The one cool part is DL stuck his hand in his brain to kill him. But what I didn't understand is why wouldn't Jessica go, well, the money's right here. Why don't I just kill you and take this money? Why wouldn't she still kill Linderman and just take the money that he just threw on the table? Their son can get millions of dollars from ATMs anyway.
She needed to wait for Linderman to shoot DL, and then she could act
exactly
on it.
Exactly.
But did it make any sense for you guys that she let Nikki take the body back over? Did that make any sense?
No.
What did that mean, Andy? Please help me.
Yeah.
I like the show, but I don't understand what the hell's going on.
It would all be resolved next week on Hero.
A hero tried to destroy the face of evil. It's like, who? Also... The NBC guy? What the hell?
Do they have to have the NBC guy intro every episode?
Yeah, and they show the same friggin' clip of Claire popping her arm back into place. Yeah. It's like, we get it. She can heal herself. People who don't watch the show know she can do that. Christ! But anyway, I'm sorry for that outburst, Andy.
I forgive.
Now, okay, 24, Andy. You haven't watched it at all this season.
Not at all.
So we'll talk about the big finale next week. What do you say, Bill? Do you think you can...
why not?
Next week will be our finale week. We got Heroes, we got Lost, we got 24. We've already had Smallville this week, so let's get to Smallville right now. Very good show, guys. Andy, you did see Smallville, right?
Yes, I did.
One thing we knew going into this episode, that someone will die.
And someone will fly.
Yeah.
Someone flies. Someone dies. Hey, someone did fly in the show.
True. Someone did.
I don't love
I'm flying.
This is the episode where Lana decides she's not going to live with Lex anymore, and she's going to tell him what for. And she even goes straight to Clark to tell him. Lana, come on, tell me. I can't, Clark. Come on, tell me. I can't, Clark. I can't tell you. Lana, tell me. Okay, well, see, basically, Lionel kind of told me I had to, and that's all the information I'm going to give to you, so you'll go and beat up Lionel right now. All right, I'll see you later. So he grabs Lionel and throws him across the room.
I am so strong, I can throw you.
He can throw you. Have you guys noticed Lionel Luthor, poor guy, the actor, something?
John Glover.
John Glover. He's always got a bloodied face in the show.
That character has had the shit beat out of him more than any character on television.
Poor John Glover. But
I mean, need we forget the Saw episode?
Oh, yeah, that was great. But the best thing about this episode, guys, is that... she breaks up with Lex, and he even grabs her. What do you think you're going?
The best is when you think, you fantasize for even 1 minute that Lana is dead.
Yeah, did you guys love that? She's like, I just gotta go. I gotta get out of here. He's like, wait, Lana, I'm here. I'm here. No, 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 no. And a post office truck goes, and then the car blows up. And he's like, okay, first of all, we all know Lionel Luthor is a conniving, no-good bastard, right? We know he's done all sorts of con jobs and stuff. I would have liked for him to stand up and go, hey, not bad death fake there, Lana.
Yeah.
Kudos to you. How for one instance would anyone think she was dead, seriously?
Well, didn't you know that the U.S. Postal Service now does pickups before explosions?
One of my favorite things is that the guy, Jackie something, remember the lawyer of Kramer's in Seinfeld? He's the Martian Manhunter! Awesome casting. I love it.
And I loved the opening, like the exorcism.
Did he get like one of his lungs pulled out? What the hell was
that?
Yeah,
what the hell?
He removed a tumor from the Martian Manhunter. I love how later on he meets Clark and he's like, I'm working with Lionel here. He's possessed by your dad. And, you know, I could heal this wound if I flew into space for a minute, but hey, no, I want to get rid of the Phantom first. He's like, oh, okay.
And
also.
I've been watching you your entire life.
Yeah. Oh, I love he goes, I've been watching you. He goes, where the hell have you been? And he's like, oh, I've been watching from a distance. It's like,
from a distance.
It's like, dude, you've been slacking off. You haven't shown up. It's like, all right, I've been busy. All right, I'm supposed to be
keeping
track.
Who the hell are you, Bette Midler?
I love that. That was so funny.
Well, the beginning also showed us how truly evil French Canadians are.
The great exorcism scene. And then Lex is there, and then the guy escapes. But we also have Lois investigating Hilo's death.
Yeah.
She wants to do a story basically incriminating Lex. And she has a piece of paper with numbers, he kept saying. And she tears it in half, telling Chloe that, no, I'm not going to... Wait a second. Latitude, longitude.
Genius.
Pretty awesome, I must say. So great detective work. So later
I love the part where Clark was hacking into the Quebec police subsystem or whatever.
Oh, I love she's doing something.
Laptop.
He goes, hey, Chloe, I just found it. It's like, you can't work a computer. What? But let's cut to later when Clark finds out Lana's dead and he's so pissed off, he tracks Lex down to the dam. And at the same place, this is where Lois was like, oh, it's just an innocent-looking abandoned dam. Probably nothing going on here. I'll just sneak down here. And she gets into a little fisticuffs fight and gets stabbed. How traumatized were you guys by that?
It was the same thing again. The close and the, oh, who's been stabbed?
I love the eye roll. Like, oh!
Here's what I don't understand. She calls... Well, I do understand. I know what happened. She called Chloe and goes, Chloe, and then drops dead. Chloe, she hacked into the mainframe of whatever phone company it was, you know, bounced it off a satellite and found exactly where she was. Am I right?
Smallville Bell.
Yeah. So she finds her, and Lois is dead.
Well, see, Lois didn't know the number for 911 in Quebec, so she, you know, she had to dial Chloe.
They're in Quebec?
Yeah, that's where it was.
That's one thing I missed in the show. Huh? They're still in Smallville, aren't they?
No, the abandoned dam was in Canada.
How would they get there so fast? How did Chloe get there so fast?
See, that's what I'm trying to say.
So anyway, Chloe shows up, and here's a scene straight out of a Japanese anime or a Japanese movie or, you know, some kind of Crouching Tiger where some mystical shit is going on, and you're like, yeah. What the hell is going on? And she's crying. And Allison Mack, she did a good job. She was crying, very upset over Lois. Then all of a sudden, Andy, you see that single tear.
I know.
And I realized, I was like, oh my God, Chloe is God. That's what I was starting to think. I was like, no, wait. That
scene right out of The Passion, whenever the teardrop falls from heaven.
That's what it was. Oh, awesome. So it hits Lois, and she wakes up. She's fine. And Chloe's dead. And I don't know what happened there. But Chloe's not dead because all this will... The first episode of next season, everything will be just fine, but...
Chloe has passed her essence on to Lois.
Through her tear. Yes. And then, okay, Clark meets up with Lex, and he's real pissed off about Lana dying. Let's check it out. Oh, and meanwhile, some little kid is possessed by a phantom. It's awesome.
She was your wife, Lex. Now, by the time Lex threw me out my marriage, Clark.
Why'd you do it? Just tell me! Get your hands off me!
You afraid she was gonna bring you down? Or was it just too humiliating for you that she was gonna leave you? Why'd you have to kill her?
Why?
What are you talking about?
You already know. Mana is dead.
Dum dum dum!
What? No. You don't die close for us. You're the one who killed her. You put a bomb in her car. You're the one who killed her!
She tried to...
Whoa!
Get out of here. They'll kill us both.
Yikes!
Linda Blair?
It's Zool from Ghostbusters.
I think it's Xenu.
Are you cleared of Thetans?
What the hell's going on? Well, one of my favorite parts is he's like, hey, Lionel runs in. He's like, hey, Clark, you okay? And he's like, no, that's the Phantom. And he like jabs the kryptonite in his chest. And he's like, hey, thanks for that. And it like gave him a boost. Here's where he reveals who he is. Andy, tell me if you remember this, where basically the creatures run into Clark and he looks just like Clark, only in dark clothing, meaning he's the evil Clark, I guess. And they do this super slow-mo bullet time run as fast as they can, right towards each other. It was so cool. Such awesome effects. It was really cool. I mean, how wild were you guys by that?
Yeah.
It reminded me of Agent Smith and Neo in The Matrix Revolutions at the end.
Exactly.
Where you hear that deep, that deep bass rumble. It's like... And he finally says, dude, who are you? And let's check it out.
Thanks for sharing. I feel a lot better now. What just happened? I took a little piece of your DNA. And now I'm going to take your life.
No! Clark! Whoa! He threw him!
I am much stronger than you.
A little more bizarre.
Now, did you guys hear that?
I'm you. Only a little more bizarre.
So he's...
I'm you, but a little more bizarre.
Yeah, I'm you, but a little more
desirable.
Okay, so it ends with Clark getting thrown thousands of miles away, and then Bizarro Clark, right, Bill? Bizarro Superman?
Yes, Bizarro.
Because at the end, when he flies around in one of the worst flying effects I've ever seen on television, dating back to the 70s, I'd say, he flies really fast.
I liked whenever his face fractured into Bizarro.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
So, okay, here it is. Lana's dead, which she's not really. She faked her death. Chloe is dead, which, no, she's not. She will come to in the next episode. Lex has been arrested for Lana's death, which was hilarious. Something's happened to my wife. You need to come with us. You're under arrest.
I'm innocent.
Hey, I swear. And I don't know, Lionel's unconscious somewhere.
Listen to me. It was the one-armed man.
Okay, Andy, I'm going to ask you a trivia question here, okay?
Uh-oh.
How many people have been picked up and thrown across the room in the span of the entire run of Smallville?
That's exactly 1,553.
Hey, you're right! Ding, ding, ding! Awesome! They have that question on Jeopardy. The guy would be like, what? But seriously, apparently Heroes, they're going to try to start doing that now. And that's okay. At least they have some kind of action.
It would only be appropriate at this point.
Yeah. Why don't we go ahead and get into Lost, which I thought was an excellent episode. I think every week it's been pretty good.
If you leave right now, how long will it take you to reach their camp?
If I take my 10 best, we can set up to hit them by nightfall.
Then you better get going.
Carl! It's me!
Carl Monday!
Did he find out I was out here?
No, but he's sending Price to their beach camp right now. You have to warn them. Go.
Oh! Did this scene make any sense to you guys?
Exactly what they want, when they're coming to get it, and they have no idea.
When they show up, we're gonna blow them all to hell.
You're the dead rock star. They made a big deal out of you when they found the plane.
Well, I saw Charlie was.
I find that hard to believe.
Into helicopter.
We're getting bloody rescued. I thought you were going to tell me I was going to die again.
Yeah, Charlie. If you don't, none of it will happen.
Naomi's boat is only 80 miles offshore.
Wouldn't you guys be able to see it?
I know if we eliminate Daniel's signal,
they'll
kill us.
No, they won't. Ben is using one of the Dharma stations to block all of the signals off of the island except for ours.
What station?
They call it the Looking Glass. It's underwater. I have no idea where it is.
I believe I do.
You're inside a
hatch. It's underwater, you just said. Jeez.
I love a switch. Click the switch, and then you drown.
Even if the station's flooded.
But not before using the
restroom. I think I'll be able to find the relay switch and disable it.
I'll do it.
Now, I'm not letting you go on some suicide mission just to flip a switch.
Hey, I can flip switches better than anybody.
Look there! Look!
It's Carl Monday!
Get off, damn it! It's okay!
What the hell are you doing?
They're coming. My people. They're coming right now!
That's personal.
We haven't enough wire yet.
Not even close.
From way of setting that dynamite off, we could shoot.
It's a circle jerk!
We camouflage the dynamite next to the tents, target it from oppositions at the tree line. Juliet marked three tents. That means we need three guns.
Will this plan work, you guys?
Here, you can have mine too.
Of course, no!
Still up for a swim.
Yeah, I believe I am.
It reminded me of there Blazing Saddles.
And so says it's about a day's walk up the radio tower.
I'm not taking them to the tower. You are.
I owe them.
What I hope they show the bodies flying way up in the air from the far away, like in places.
Oh, shit.
The horses.
This afternoon, you said you were out of town. Lead them to the radio.
Somebody go back and get a shitload of dimes. Hey, they could slow them down like that. Set up a toll booth.
This is it.
You don't have to do this, Charlie. I'll go. Besides,
I brought my cello with me.
Say. You and I both know I'm supposed to take my place, bro.
Deep core, do you read me? Hey, Andy, were you getting an abyss dive right here? Abyss vibe, I mean.
I'm alive!
This is the part where he's cutting himself.
It's Lieutenant Coffee! And next week. That scene where Charlie's swimming to the moon pole, it was right out of the abyss. It reminded me of Bud Virgil Brigman swimming to the moon pole. And
when it was so long, he just was like, I'm out of breath, I'm dying here.
That was a great scene, though, because you expect Charlie to swim down there, hit the button, he's going to die. I loved his shoes floating in the water. That was a really well-done scene. I really liked that stuff.
I like the lighting.
I like the scene where Hurley, he wants to go, and he's like, you're too fat! And then he feels bad, and he gives him a hug. He's like, whatever, dude.
You're fat, but I love you.
And he does. And
he's a chubby chaser.
I mean, I really thought the episode was good. I'm really liking where Lost is going. I can't wait to see the finale. Well, here's the thing I want to know. We know that Ben lies and manipulates, but now they're showing us that not only does he do that, he does it to everybody, even his own people. Because he's like, Jacob wants us to go get the girls now, all the women, and we'll kill whoever gets in our way. And then even Juliet says, well, Ben told us that the place was flooded and there's no reason to ever go there. So does the guy tell the truth to anyone?
Ben is a creep.
And you know what? I think he's great, that actor. He's excellent.
He is.
He's the kind of person you love to hate. He's excellent in that role. Jack is like, I'm going to stay here and we're going to set dynamite. And here's an example. Set off the bomb. And it's just like, and they're like, oh, that's how dynamite worked. Did that scene make any sense?
Is it the 4th of July already? Cue the marching band.
That scene made no sense to me. It could be like, this is dynamite, you guys. And they'd be like, oh, okay. Oh, you guys don't know what this is.
This is your brain on dynamite.
No, Jack, we know what dynamite is. No. We already set it up and everything. Go ahead and hit it, Russo. No, we know it. Oh, wait. Now everyone on the island could have just heard that.
Exactly. Yeah. Now they know our plan.
I mean, didn't people in the entire state of Texas hear the space shuttle blow up in the atmosphere?
Yes.
So could everyone on the island hear that dynamite blow up, you think?
Yeah.
I thought the show for the regular folk on the beach was a little over the top. I mean, it's like you said, it's like, you know, the first thing I thought was, good God, what are you growing dynamite on trees that you could just blow it up for a good little show?
Yeah, don't you need all the dynamite you have?
I know, it's like, make her carry every more stick.
And there's another thing. Well,
we use dynamite like we eat churros.
Think about this. How far away was that explosion from them? And Russo sets it off with a thing. Later on, he goes, what's wrong? We don't have enough freaking wire. Duh. How many miles away was that bomb you just set off? We could have used that wire on the beach. And he should have went, oh!
Well, what's the speech before that to Russo? All right, Russo, what we want to do first is set up an example. We want to set up something to show them.
Yeah.
Wow them. Let's really wow them. Let's pull them in. Come on. We got to win them.
Shock and awe.
Shock and awe. I don't know where it's going, but I can't wait to see. I thought it was a great episode. Besides, you know, it's just like Heroes or Small. I mean, I don't not like these shows. It's just I got to call when it's something stupid.
Oh, I agree.
It's like if Peter could read Ben's mind and he's just like, I'm not going to mention it. I know what he's going to do.
There's far too much stupid in this year's season finales than actual substance.
Here's another. Okay, Heroes. When we get the finale, I can't wait to see Peter and Siler face off. I hope it's not lame. I hope
it's
cool.
Yeah.
I hope it's not like the future episode where they go, yeah, I need a good fight, and then we don't get one.
Cuts away, yeah.
I just hope Peter doesn't go, oh, God, what the? Oh, I'm okay. Never mind. It's like, dude, you're just a drama queen is what it is.
I'd still do him.
Now, Smallville, thanks for that, Vanessa. Smallville's finale was about what I expected. What did you guys think was about what you expected?
It was
mediocre. Yeah.
I thought it was better than the rest of the season. I mean, it was, you know what, this whole season was okay. It was way better than season 5, but still not good. But I thought that the finale was decent.
Do you remember last finale, Zod takes over in the very first episode of this season? Zod's gone.
Yeah, that was great. I loved that wrap-up. And we even joked.
Okay,
we joked at the end of that season, like, oh, first episode next season, it'll be over.
Remember what he said? Zod was like the most powerful dude ever, wasn't he? And he used that pendant to get rid of him. This time he's like, I'll just use my super pendant. And they're like, no, that's not going to work, dude. That's not going to work this time because he was genetically studied and altered on Krypton. So, no, it's not going to work. It'd be like, what? And he even tried to use it anyway. Did you like that?
What I don't understand is if this thing was created and studied and all that and then sent to, I mean, this is not how, you know, Bizarro was created in the comic books.
No, but, not at all.
I mean, it's just such a departure and so stupid that they would experiment with something, screw it up, and then go, oh, let's send it to the Phantom Zone.
So, yeah, this experiment didn't really work out, this Bizarro version of whatever. Yeah, what was that experiment they were doing on Krypton, first of all? I don't know.
Let's send them to Harty, you know, the square world.
Bill, we had Entourage this week.
I haven't seen any of it this season.
What?
I watch it on DVD once it's
released. Oh, okay. I thought you watched it right when it came out. I'm sorry.
No. Well, I didn't get to finish watching this Sunday's episode, so we might need to skip it.
Okay, we'll just talk about Entourage, and we'll talk about Sopranos next week, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to give anything away, but somebody killed somebody on The Sopranos, and it was very shocking. What do you think?
Somebody Bill? Done somebody's wrong song.
Yeah. Hey!
No, just somebody's please. Done somebody.
Huh? Andy, you okay?
Did a little toot there?
Let's do the news! All right, Vanessa, what have we got in the news this week?
All right, in Berlin, the decomposed corpse of a German man was found alone in his bed after nearly 7 years.
Schnitzel.
The police said in a statement the man was 59 and unemployed at the time of his death.
With no friends.
No kidding.
With very few teeth, clutching a bottle of paint thinner.
He most likely died of natural causes on November 30th, 2000, the date he received a letter from the welfare office found in his apartment. Next to the dead man's bed, police found cigarettes, an open television guide, and Deutschmark coins, which came out of circulation after the euro was introduced in 2002.
He didn't want to miss Empty Nest.
The man's apartment was in a building with offices and apartments, many of which now are empty. No one missed him. No one ever filed a missing persons report.
Wow. Poor guy.
That's sad.
See, when you have no friends, you get in trouble.
In Cincinnati, a man accused of robbing a fast food restaurant left lots of clues to his identity. He dropped his wallet, which contained his photo identification card, his social security card, and his birth certificate. Nathan McFarland, 42, of Cincinnati, is accused of assaulting at least two KFC employees Saturday, fleeing with an undetermined amount of cash. Using the photo ID...
Give me all your money in a bucket of chicken!
Using the photo ID from his wallet, employees were able to identify McFarland as the robber. McFarland has been charged with three counts of armed robbery, and he is to be arraigned this Monday. What an idiot.
Hey, I know that guy.
I think you're insane.
Also in Berlin, German sex shop chain Bettusch must pay German soccer stars Michael Ballack and Oliver Kahn the equivalent of $67,000 each for using their names for vibrators without permission.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah. The company had marketed the sex toys dubbed Michael B. and Ollie K. before Germany hosted the World Cup in 2006.
Looks like you're working out some issues there.
Although the surnames of the two German soccer stars were not used, it was clear they referred to the Chelsea midfielder Michael Ballack and Bayern Munich goalkeeper Oliver Kahn. Kahn and national team captain Ballack sued Bettusch in court for unauthorized use of their names, and they won. The products have been withdrawn, and now they have to pay 50,000 euros to each. That's a weak vibrator.
That's a lightsaber.
We got another story from Berlin. They're just popular this week. A 36-year-old German mother of five drove her son to a jewelry store he wanted to rob because she was afraid he might come to some harm. While her 17-year-old son and his two accomplices stabbed and robbed a jeweler in the eastern city of Dresden, the mother waited outside in the car. I knew he wanted to rob the shop, and I was very worried about him. A court sentenced the woman to 3 years and 10 months in prison, where she is still baffled at her sentencing. Because she was just trying to protect her son, I guess. Here, this is up for dispute, so let me know what you think. According to Maxim magazine, Lindsay Lohan rules as the hottest woman in the world.
Huh?
Yeah. The Georgia Rule actress troublemaker tops the magazine's 8th annual Hot 100 list, a ranking by editors weighing buzz and beauty for women in film, TV, music, sports, and fashion. There is no other star in the world who causes more of a stir in the public eye than Lindsay, says Maxim editor-in-chief Jimmy Jelinek in a statement. Her every move is watched and reported on. Not surprisingly, Jelinek described his young male readership as being obsessed with the 20-year-old Lohan, a ubiquitous party girl who spent the weekend soaking up the sun with her new boyfriend in the Bahamas.
That's because she's so easy.
Jessica Alba had to settle with number two on the list, which is the magazine.
I disagree with that at this point.
She's gorgeous. Lindsay Lohan beat Jessica Alba. She followed in order. Number three was Scarlett Johansson,
right.
Christina Aguilera, Jessica Biel, Ali Larter, and Eva Mendez. Rihanna, Eva Longoria, Fergie, Sienna Miller, Beyonce Knowles, and Katherine Heigl.
Do I disagree with that list?
Beautiful.
Does anyone really care about these lists?
No. No one cares about the list because everybody disagrees with them. They're all horseshit.
Well, yeah. I do notice that all the Lindsay Lohan entered Spago's the other day. It's just the same crap.
Well, here's just a quick thing for you. In Lincoln, Rhode Island, you remember the song by Tommy Two Tone? You know, Jenny, 867-5309?
Oh, yeah. Great song.
Well, now a Rhode Island company and a national firm are battling over the right to use that phone number, which doesn't reach Jenny that Two Tone sings about, but could find callers a decent plumber.
Did you say plumber?
Yeah. 2 years ago, Gem Plumbing and Heating of Lincoln, Rhode Island trademarked the phone number in the early 1980s hit, which reached number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Gem acquired the number in Rhode Island when its original owner, Brown University, gave up 8675309 after growing weary of the constant crank phone calls. Gem's number works in the 401 area code in Rhode Island and the 617 area code in southern Massachusetts. But Florida-based Clockwork Home Services also has a plumbing company using a toll-free version, 1-800-8675309 in New England. They argue.
How old is this song? Why is this an issue 80s. Anymore?
I know. Why is this news?
I don't know.
Think otherwise.
Now, honestly, think about this. Okay, a 20-year-old right now. Does a 20-year-old really know this song?
No.
Bill doesn't even know it. The only people who know this song are Generation Xers.
Song to begin with.
Huh?
But according to, I guess they're saying that the phone company's saying you're only allowed to trademark what's called a vanity number, like 1-800-Flowers, where it has a word in it. You can't, you can't trademark a specific digits. So now they're battling over it because one wants to keep the 1-800 for across the U.S. The other one's, no.
We represent the lollipop deal, the lollipop deal.
Do they have their own vanity number, I wonder?
Don't know. But you see, I'm sorry. Am I the only one who gets ticked about that, though? They're like, okay, call 1-800 doctors. And then you have to sit there at the phone and go, okay, D is 3.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
What?
D.
Are you two, mentally retarded?
No, it irritates me.
I'm with her, man. I don't want to dial a number. I don't want to have to sit there and look at the damn thing.
I want to just dial a freaking number.
Exactly.
What a slob.
Come on. This was a one-hit wonder that, like I said, people who grew up in the 80s would know. That's it. So it's kind of
8675309.
I got it.
I got it.
I got the number on the wall.
Beautiful. All right. That's
I
all
hated that song.
That's all I've got.
All right, Vanessa. Thanks for doing the news this week.
Thank you, Vanessa. Appreciate it. We love you, Vanessa.
Thank you.
We love Vanessa.
Yay.
We love Vanessa. No more treating her poorly, guys.
Thank you.
I got called a bitch the whole way through it, and it sucks, and I feel really misunderstood, and I'm sad.
Oh, sorry, Vanessa. All right, Bill, is it time to do some DVDs?
Finally.
Let's do it.
Let's do some
DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. 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 HD Blu-ray. Is that the definition? DVDs.
Oh, hell yeah, baby. That was the best rendition yet. Too bad I'll never be able to do it again when Steven's back. Hey, what does that mean?
You bastards! You don't know who you're messing with!
Yeah, exactly, Ando.
Steven's been replaced.
Yeah.
I'm giving my notice to Jansen.
Pull a Three's Company move.
All right, Bill, what DVDs we got this week?
All right, this is a huge week in DVD, HD DVD, and Blu-ray.
Oh, who cares?
Shut up.
Hey, that's our guest.
Who can afford it?
No one. But it's always nice to drool. Uh-huh. So it's these are DVDs for May 22nd, 2007, starting off with The 40-Year-Old Virgin 2-Disc Double Your Pleasure Edition.
Ooh.
Well, the reason why they're releasing this is because they're also releasing the HD DVD of The 40-Year-Old Virgin with all these extras, the over 90 minutes of behind-the-scenes stuff and 17 minutes more put back into the movie and all kinds of
crap. I love The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I thought it was great. Hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. It's definitely guy humor, though.
I watch it every time it's on HBO, man.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah!
Killer, man.
All right, next DVD is everyone's favorite character, Stringfellow Hawk in Airwolf Season 3.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I mean, wouldn't you want to sit down for 1,055 minutes with Ernest Borgnine?
Holy crap!
The man with the patch eyeglass.
Well, for people who don't know, is Airwolf was like a really super duper like fancy helicopter, right?
Super duper fancy. It was.
That's a badass.
A rescue helicopter has crashed.
He'll never live that down.
This is, again, going back to the, looks like a Coast Guard type.
Coast Guard type helicopter. I love the Predator snark.
Steven's kicked off, man.
That's why.
That's why I've been here.
What I love best about Airwolf is the names of the characters. Like, how can you get past Sinjin and Stringfellow Hawk, for Christ's sakes? I mean, are you kidding me? It's genius. What do you guys think? The show was incredible. It was basically...
To me, it was like, if I'm going to watch a helicopter, I'm going to watch Blue Thunder. I don't want to watch the television cheap-ass knockoff.
How dare you?
Yeah.
No, it's funny. As a kid...
How better? You have a helicopter show, Ernest Borgnine. He's my man.
Well, you know, you'd have to give props to Riptide also.
Oh, yeah, the Screaming Mimi, of course.
Yes, I see. I said Screaming Mimi always wins. It was better. It had a better name, too.
Well, because they dropped grenades out the window.
Yeah, they didn't
They're
have
like
any.
The white trash version.
Yeah, they didn't have guns or anything. They dropped grenades and mason jars out the window.
They landed the Screaming Mimi on cinder blocks.
And plus they had a fancy robot.
Boz?
Boz.
Yeah, Bosley or something.
Now, hey, Andy, did you watch Riptide?
Never saw it once.
What?
Never saw it.
Oh, you were deprived.
It does not compute.
Yeah, I know.
No.
All right, Bill, what other DVDs we got?
Next DVD is Alex Rider, Operation Stormbreaker.
Oh, good. The young James Bond lad.
Box office poison.
This is about the ordinary teenager trained to be an ultimate spy. His uncle is Ewan McGregor.
Obi-Wan.
Yes, and Mickey Rourke's in it, and Alicia Silverstone. Stephen Fry, Bill Nye, and Andy Serkis. Like,
Big cavalcade of stars.
Because it was a big hit in England. The books were a big hit. I think they were trying to Harry Potter the thing.
So next DVD is quite possibly one of my favorite movies. Well, not quite possibly. Is one of my favorite movies from last year. Mel Gibson's Apocalypto.
Awesome. Still haven't seen it.
Being released on DVD and Blu-ray. I cannot wait to get my Blu-ray. I already have it ordered.
In standard definition.
I want my PS3.
Can it cock a bathroom?
Okay, you want your PS3, yet there are no games for it, and you don't have a high-definition television.
I'm waiting to cross the Patriots.
How about if you get a high-def television first, and then worry about the PS3?
Sure, I'll dip into my trust fund.
Vanessa, he's a high-definition prude, is what he is.
Well, no, I'm not a prude, but there's...
everybody else can order it. Like, we can't afford it.
There is
it,
absolutely no reason to shell out $600 for a game system.
But she's
when you...
She's the ultimate game chick. She just told
But there is no reason to play it on a standard definition 4:3 television.
That's...
Well, she loves Metal Gear. I understand that.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
Well, you want to hear something funny? Here's how I play games. I do GameTap. $9 a month, okay? There's your high definition.
See, I just tried the trial of GameTap. I can't stand it.
I've heard complaints about it.
I did too, and I quit, and then 5 months later I came back, and now it rocks.
I must have to buy, like, a controller or something. Anyways, Apocalypto's coming out. It's got a great documentary on creating the Mayan culture. It's got a commentary with Mel Gibson and the writer, Farhad Safina. Deleted scenes with commentary. And DTS 5.1, Dolby Digital 5.1 on the standard edition. PCM uncompressed sound on the Blu-ray, of course.
PCZ, Steven, on the
Blu-ray. I vote yes.
One of the most important releases of May 22nd, Cutthroat Island.
Yes.
Huh?
That movie was the biggest box office flop of all time.
Yeah, so was
box
Metal Gear.
Box office poison.
Really not good.
Gina Davis and Matthew Modine in there deliver a tidal wave of nonstop action and adventure in this swashbuckling saga of ruthless pirates.
All I want to know, Rennie Harlan commentary.
No, I guess they couldn't get him.
What? Oh, Finnish bastard. Well, give me my commentary.
Will I take a pirate movie and make it suck?
If you are upset about not having a
it's not that bad a movie.
Uh-huh.
It's really not that bad.
Hey, release it.
What?
Put it back in theaters now during the big pirates craze. It'll make $400 billion.
To the Caribbean movies. They're horrible.
Vanessa, have you even seen Cutthroat Island? It's a good movie.
I thought it was, Waterworld and Cutthroat Island, I would say, are probably two of the worst movies.
You know what your problem is? You read that, it costs this much money, it's a big flop, so you're like, it must be a bad movie.
I saw it before they print it.
No, you didn't. Because it was all in print before the movie came out. What I'm saying is, what a lot of people do, tell me I'm right about this, Andy, because I know I am. People read a lot of negative reporting about a movie before it comes out, like, it's costing this much money, it's a disaster. Then they're like, that movie's going to be horrible.
Yes.
Nope, didn't read anything about it.
Look at what happened with Titanic.
Absolutely.
When Titanic first came out, people were bad-mouthing it, saying it was horrible. It was hardly bringing in any money up until it found that teen audience when they started broadcasting commercials on MTV. And then it just exploded. Because, like, for the first few weeks that it was out, it hardly brought in a cent.
Is that
what?
True?
What? Because I went the opening
true.
Night, and
I don't
there
think that's
lines.
True at all, Bill.
It was number one the week that it came out.
Yeah, it was huge.
Really? There was, like, five people there the night it opened.
Well, they killed the Giggler!
It didn't make, like, $100 million or anything, but it beat out the James Bond movie came out the same day with.
You know what's funny
about that?
What's funny about Titanic is I saw it the opening night Friday, enjoyed it, and then as weeks went by, more embarrassed that I liked it.
Yeah.
The only good part of that movie is when the ship sank and that guy fell and hit the blade. That was the best part. Get rid of the stupid romance crap. I don't care.
How
just sink the damn ship.
Wow.
But I have to wholeheartedly disagree with Vanessa about, I think Waterworld and Cutthroat Island, although are horrible movies, are a lot of fun to watch.
I like Waterworld.
Waterworld's not bad.
To be honest with you, I own them both on DVD.
I found
Cutthroat Island for like $5, and I said, what the hell?
Waterworld's not great, but, I mean, it's not horrible.
I thought it was horrible.
What is it? Cutthroat Island? This disc would sell if it had a Rennie Harlan commentary. They lost a sale.
It's just not printed. Maybe this new release has it. I don't know.
What I was doing on this film, other than my other movies like Shark Movie, is I delve into pirates, why they be pirates. This shoot right here, this scene cost $500,000. We lost light and it took forever.
Sounds a whole lot like you, Bull.
Hey, as far as I'm concerned, Rennie Harlan sucks just as bad as you, Bull.
No, wasn't you there... can't say that because Cliffhanger was a good movie.
No, it wasn't. No, it was not.
No. I think you're insane.
You know what was good?
Don't look down.
Hey, Cliffhanger, the trailer was better than the movie. It was awesome.
Well, that's true.
Usually how it is, yeah.
Hey, but... John Lithgow makes a great bad guy. I don't know what went wrong in that.
He was good in Ricochet.
My favorite line in that is he's going to his parole hearing, and the guard goes, hey, did you forget to floss? And he goes, yes, I did, with your wife's pubic hair. Best line in cinema ever. Flossed with his wife's pubic hair. Wow.
He has a bunch of those lines that make absolutely no sense.
I think David Mamet wrote that.
Major dumbass.
Epic movie, the unrated edition.
Huh?
Yeah. In case you missed Epic Movie in the theater and want to get your fill of horrible...
Peel my skin off?
...writing. It also has a commentary.
This has the Rennie Harlan commentary.
Box office poison.
It has an audio commentary by the writers directors, so
yeah, we want to hear that.
So this is like date movie, epic movie. They keep making these horrible spoof movies that aren't funny at all.
I don't think anybody went to see Epic Movie.
I think Not Another Teen Movie is one of the most painful things.
Next DVD is a Hal Hartley film, his newest one, Faye Grimm, with Parker Posey and Jeff Goldblum. I heard this is actually pretty damn good.
Hey, I'm a big fan of Hal Hartley films. I love a movie he did called Amateur. His movies are really good. What do you think, Amateur. Andy? You a Hal Hartley fan?
Never seen him.
Really?
Really.
What else has he done?
Check out Henry Fool.
Simple Men.
But check out Amateur. Amateur is the one I love.
I even kind of like No Such Thing with, what's that girl's
name? Oh, Sarah Pauly.
Yeah, Sarah Pauly.
And you know what, Bill? This movie, okay, Andy, here's what they've been doing lately is Faye Grimm. This movie was released. It's released on DVD, opened on Friday, and it premiered on a channel, HDNet, all at the same time.
Wow. Yeah, it's a Magnolia release, which Mark Cuban owns. So,
and I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to watch it this week.
Yeah, I have it set to watch, too. That's
you got AIDS.
Huh? I got AIDS?
You got AIDS.
Oh.
Oh, an A.
That clears up everything.
What were you saying, Andy?
I've never had a retarded friend.
No, you know, that's the next step that people want to start taking is this day and date deal where they do the theatrical and the DVD and the release at home at the same time and see what happens. So, well, it's interesting.
Mark Cuban's a huge proponent of that.
Well, right. Well, see, I don't think it's for real until they do a real, like a movie that people have actually heard of before. So the last one I heard of it was a Soderbergh movie.
They're doing it almost every month on HDNet. The most recent one before that was a movie called Diggers, about clam diggers, with Paul Rudd, and it was really good.
Yeah, it was.
And you know what? What I was going to say is I've heard things about, especially, I think it was, I don't remember. It was a studio head talking about pay-per-view movies that are released theatrically, like, say, something like Shrek the Third. You could watch it at home on pay-per-view the same day it released.
That's a good idea.
But it's like $50. Would you pay for it?
No.
I think the thing was anywhere from $25 to $50. Which if you really kind of think about it, gas,
popcorn, $9. Popcorn,
especially if you have like three kids or something, you're taking all three to the movies.
Yeah.
You do a big family gathering and and make everybody chip in a little bit, like guys do when they used to do the boxing.
Yeah, the UFC. Yeah, like UFC, that's a big thing.
Yeah, when I was in high school.
Money in the hat, you know?
Yeah, when I was in high school, and like when there was like an Evander Holyfield fight, I remember the Evander Holyfield Tyson fight when he got his ear bit off by Tyson.
I remember that.
We did that where it was like, it was funny. It was like eight of my friends and two teachers, and we all gathered at my place and watched it.
Two teachers?
Yeah. We had really young teachers, like just out of college in their 20s, so
that sounds
we kind of got along with our teachers
for
pretty
teacher?
Well.
That doesn't sound legal. That
yeah, I don't think it is.
It isn't legal.
No more late night booty calls.
One teacher that we all got along with so well, this Mr. Whatever. He,
I remember
later,
that guy, Mr. Whatever.
I don't want to say his name because years later he was arrested for having relations with a student when he was principal.
Oh,
of the school.
Lovely. No
the
wonder he's such a cool teacher.
Scumbag.
He wanted him a piece of the bill action.
Yeah. Okay. I declare Mount Dill.
Mr. Pedophilia. Let's just say that name. No, what was his name? I'm sorry.
Mr. Whatever.
Mr. Radich.
But what's funny, though, is that he got off.
I bet he did.
Not only did he get off there, he got off completely. Like, because they
swear.
Didn't
get to know it.
Enough evidence. And in Michigan, the age of consent at that time was 16.
Ew!
So, anyways, the next DVD is
I would
is,
really, really
Barf-
like to shoot you right now.
Okay. Flags of Our Fathers 2-disc special edition, if you've been waiting for this and want to pick
Has
it up.
Has anyone seen this? I want to know if it's any good.
It's an excellent film. I watched it the other night on pay-per-view.
I love Clint Eastwood. He's a great director, so I figured it might be good. So
it's okay. The way he handled the flashbacks and the present time.
10 people you'll meet in hell.
Whoa!
It's incredibly well done. Standard def and the Blu-ray and the HD DVD also coming out at the same time.
Standard definition.
No, Andy, Flags of Our Fathers. Should I rent it or buy it?
Rent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely rent.
What about the other one?
Letters from Iwo Jima.
Yeah. That's the one that I hear is where he nailed it.
It's incredible.
Well, Ken Watanabe's in it, too. I love him as an actor.
Jesus Christ.
Enough with the Ken Watanabe.
Stop it!
Hey, Bill, what other DVDs we got coming out?
The next DVD is The Good German, the horrible Steven Soderbergh disaster.
Hey, I owned that the day it came out in theaters.
Did you?
And I never watched it. I use it as a doorstop.
Cup holder.
No, you know, they tried the Casablanca, you know, 1940s.
Is this like Steven Soderbergh's Kafka, where it's like, what the hell is he doing? He lost his freaking mind. Does anyone understand the movie Kafka?
No.
Has anyone seen the movie Kafka?
No.
I saw many.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, I love that.
Next movie is a movie I actually saw here in Columbus at an independent theater. It's called The Italian. It's a terrific movie. I can't recommend it enough. It's about
you mean The Italian Job. Just get it right.
No.
Job.
It's it's about
Italian
a Russian orphan finds out that his birth mother is still alive. And
that's a great thing.
He goes basically cross-country by himself so he can find his mother. And I'll just leave it at that. But,
well, I hope he finds her.
If you get a chance to watch it, it really is a terrific movie. I can't recommend it enough. This one's for Andy. It's Jews in Space.
Yes.
I have no idea what it's about. I just thought it was a funny title.
My name is Judge.
It's very informative.
Why they would call it Jews in Space, I have no idea.
Mel Brooks have anything to do with it? Because if he doesn't, he needs to sue.
No, actually, it says here, it's about it's a comedy drama about a Jewish family in Buenos Aires.
Sounds great.
Yeah. It might be even more boring than The Italian. All right, next DVD is one of my favorite shows from last year, Kyle XY, about a dude who has no idea who he is, and he has
no belly button.
No
belly
Medic.
Button. Every single time I saw a commercial for Kylix Y, every single time I saw it, and I saw it a lot on TV.
He has no belly button.
He has no belly button. It's like, okay, yeah. Got it.
Maybe he's trying to find his belly button.
So how did he keep trying to prove to people that he's an alien of some sort?
Oh, because I'm wondering, I mean, what did they tie off when he was born?
Yeah, well, they don't, obviously he wasn't born, he was created, so they don't know if he's, you know, like a government experiment or an alien or
whatever. Uh-oh, Lex is interested.
Yep.
Daryl.
Yes, data analyzing robot youth life form.
That's right.
Life form, yes. Daryl. Love Daryl.
Yeah, but was he good at a pole position like Daryl?
Yeah,
wasn't it Rad Racer, or was it Pole Position?
Pole Position.
It was Pole Position.
Because if you're good at Pole Position, it speeds up real fast.
Yeah
what the hell was that?
But I would love to have a best friend named Turtle, though.
Exactly. Who wouldn't? That's everyone's dream.
Not well, being Vince to my does. Ability.
Like on
Vince
Entourage.
And Chase.
Yeah! Hey, I wonder if that's the same Turtle.
Chase. I doubt
it. He's like, hey, Vince, once I knew this robot kid, that'd be a cool way to tie it all together.
All right, and speaking of the Clint Eastwood movies, Letters from Iwo Jima special edition with an HD DVD and Blu-ray are coming out. And,
you'll be up in everybody's business!
Are they going to package those two together? To me, that seems like something they ought to do. Just
yeah, actually, there's a 5-disc set that's... the two movies and an extra disc.
Well, Clint Eastwood ever win another Oscar? Everyone thinks now he's won a million. So do you guys think he'll ever win another Oscar?
Depends on the material he gets.
Exactly. He's good at picking material.
I don't see why
bad answer. Not the answer I'm looking for.
The answer is no.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No.
He's fallen into the Meryl Streep category now. They'll say, oh, he's got 12.
She's got like, yeah, 12.
Right. You sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
Me or Andy?
Next DVD is Porky's One Size Fits All Edition.
How many versions do they put out of Porky's?
Not enough. Porky's 1.5.
Yeah, they had...
Okay, so this is Porky's 4.5. I don't know.
get her drunk, but, you'll be good.
This one has a new full-length commentary by Bob Clark, I guess.
And who else?
Posthumous. That's it.
No.
Who Me. Else?
Pee-wee.
No.
Tim Cattrall.
No. Rennie Harlan.
Oh, shit. That one went right over my head. Okay, so if you know... Or the Porky's One Size Fits All edition.
They gotta stop with it. I saw like Revenge of the Nerds, the panty raid. Oh, it's so funny. Just shut up and put the DVD out. I don't need these fancy little names to them.
Well, now you can get the ultimate edition.
Oh my god. Oh, yep.
I didn't know there was a. In case you don't own the Road Warrior or Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome...
And if you don't, you should die.
A double feature set with both films.
Wow!
Double feature? Why not do a triple feature? Come on.
No, they don't...
They don't own the rights to the to Mad Max.
Out Absolutely. In the ruins.
Probably Last one of the most...
Generation.
The biggest DVD...
Tun-Tun, play something tragic. Who the hell was that guy? I wanted to know more about Tun-Tun. Tell me his story, George Miller. He introduced this fascinating character, a blind dude who can play the sax in the middle of the wasteland, and you never show him again in the movie. Good God!
One man enter, one man leave.
End of story.
Who run Bata Town?
Yeah. Only him leave.
Master Blaster.
Who run Bata Town?
Master Blaster.
Master Blaster.
Like Embargo on!
Word.
Disarm! 3 seconds, break. Master Blaster, listen to the law!
Big killer.
Jesus. Captain Walker.
Mrs. Walker. Tomorrow, tomorrow land. I would have taken an Uzi and gunned down every single one of those little brats.
Those kids were irritating.
Just like it would have gone on forever. It would have been seen just Max.
The whole movie.
That's the thing. He gets his madness back. Yeah. They drive him so freaking insane, he kills all of them.
I wanted to kill them, too. I was like, God, shut up, you dirty kids.
Pokey lips.
I'm the man who keeps Mr. Death in his pocket. It's got some great lines in it, though, like that.
All right, to finish
by the way, Mel Gibson, the entire movie, I don't know if you guys know this, he was drunk the entire film.
That's all documented.
No, he was struggling with alcohol. That was like the height of his alcoholism, and he was drunk through the entire film. No, that was his character in Lethal Weapon. So what are you saying? I'm going to meet a bunch of kids here, and what the hell's going on? Let's get back to the scene with Tun Tun playing something tragic. I want to do that movie.
Pig killer.
Pig killer.
Pig killer.
I love the names of that. Screw Loose, Iron Bar. We will rebuild. Okay, what else, Bill?
The Third Man Criterion Collection 2-disc edition. This is important because the original edition wasn't very good. It didn't look very good.
It is an incredible trilogy, though.
Yeah. Yes, I like the First Man more than the
Second
Third
Man was really bad, though.
Yes. Yeah. But they've remastered it. It's got a video introduction by Peter Bogdanovich, which is about as important.
Was that before or after he nailed Galaxina?
I think this introduction is almost as important as the introduction by Leonard Maltin.
You didn't answer my question, Bill.
Oh.
I think it was this after. next DVD is Venus,
yeah,
Peter
right,
O'Toole,
right.
In a horrible movie.
Hey, he should have won the Oscar for that.
Is this the one with Vanna White?
Yes, Vanessa. Yes, it's the one with Vanna White.
What a quaint about.
Next
where
DVD is...
number?
What
the hell?
DVD
two
is Richard...
shit hoes.
God.
Vanessa's talking about a made-for-TV movie called The Goddess of Love with Vanna White, just so...
yes,
because no one
that.
Knew what the hell
a couple years after she did her Playboy spread.
That's when she was going to become a big actress.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a terrific film.
The best line ever.
That's not appropriate.
I don't give a f***.
Next DVD is Richard Dreyfuss in Whose Life Is It Anyway? Quite possibly one of the most depressing films ever.
Whose career is it anyway? Not his. What the hell happened to him? Jesus.
I think he retired after Poseidon. Because
I'm going to make Poseidon. That will reignite my career. Wrong.
That was so
God,
crazy.
That movie was bad.
His threw that phone into the water. It was like, oh, God, he's so intense.
His character was great. He was going to kill himself, but he found a reason to live.
It's beautiful.
Didn't he wait too long to find a reason to live? You're on a freaking capsized cruise ship. You're screwed. But I do love the way they set up his character in the film. He's like, you got to call me. I need you. And he can't get a hold of this person, you know?
The dude, you mean?
I'm going to say nuanced.
Yeah.
Poseidon, otherwise known as Wolfgang Peterson on crack.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And that's DVDs for May 22nd, 2007.
Well, thanks, Bill. I'm going to buy every single one of those. I don't know about you guys.
I just have a question. You know you're talking about...
Anyone for penis?
Huh?
When they make a comeback, you know, like some directors or actors, why is it seem like that? I mean, look at, okay, Demi Moore, she comes back with that really bad, awful Charlie's Angels movie. Michael Keaton comes back with White Noise. I mean, why do they pick such shitty roles to
well,
come back?
Well, they don't pick them. They have to wait to be offered.
Michael Keaton didn't come back in White Noise. That was the first movie he got that was of any budget to be released.
True.
Theatrically, he came back with Game 6, which was an incredible film.
Yeah, see, that's what
Vanessa, it's not like they can make whatever they want. They got to wait to be offered work. Or
I think Vanessa's talking about larger budget films, not like independent stuff. I mean, they can go into independent. Michael Keaton can work anywhere independently as long as he wants. But she's talking like major studio, big budget things. And I think basically the fact is that they're just not getting offered the roles, the good stuff.
And to say the good stuff is debatable.
Yeah, that
you
is
know, I think Michael Keaton is much better off doing independent films because he's a better actor than you know, a large budget film.
Sure. Yeah, I do miss Michael Keaton. I thought he was great.
You know, he wants a payday too, and so I don't feel so bad when big actors make shitty movies sometimes because you need some food on the table, and well, it's like sometimes you have to do, you know, some good movies on the side.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal and see.
Everybody, that was episode 80 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this week. I'd like to thank my guest Andy for joining us. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you for having me, my lovely friends. I love you all.
Yes, come back anytime. Well, now you're going to because you're taking over for Steven.
Taking over for Steven. He's over at the Hollywood Saloon now, except I've trademarked that term, so it will now henceforth be called the Hollywood Super Bowl.
The Hollywood Super Bar?
The Hollywood... Hollywood truck stop.
I like this. Hollywood Bistro.
Sounds very fancy.
Now, Andy, if you'd like to ever get a hold of us, leave a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. Did you like how I did that?
That was nice.
Also, you could go to nowheremulberry.com and find a link to what, Andy?
Find a link to nimpodcast.com. What? I don't know what you're saying.
Mulberry Old School. You have failed, sir.
That's correct. Why would I want to listen to a bunch of that old crap?
Hey,
he turns off the show before we get to this part.
That is all. Yeah, Andy's like this. Stuff like this in the middle of your sleep.
We represent the lollipop deals.
Exactly. Also, you could go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and leave us an email, which I would love for you to do because I love reading your emails. And Andy, where can we go to visit the Hollywood Saloon?
www.hollywoodbistro.com.
Oh, hey, I'm going to check that out. You have a lovely crab bisque, which yes. I always enjoy while I'm there. And Andy, I don't even want to ask if you've listened to a certain 24 podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Busted, oh, you bastard! Man.
That sucks.
I spent days and nights making that. Damn you!
I'm too busy listening to the Way of the Master podcast. Come on.
Oh!
Now, that's a show I did not miss.
You know how I know God exists? Because this coat can exist.
Who created the coat can? Who created the creator?
You know
of the
who
coat
made
can?
It? You know who created the coat can? Mr. Smartass Kurt Cameron? Tun Tun, while he's playing something tragic.
Tun Tun. Only you would rip out a Tun Tun reference.
Tun Tun!
I mean, hell, I had all but forgotten about Tun Tun until you say it.
Well, one thing that always... I really think this, it's kind of sad. He's probably got the last saxophone in the world and it gets an arrow in it. Poor Tun Tun. Jeez. I feel sorry for that guy. Well, Andy, before we go, I'd like you to give us your parting thoughts of the day.
Parting thoughts of the day... It's better to die than to fade away.
Burn out than fade away.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Oh, that sucks to be corrected by Vanessa.
All right. I'm not on any podcast now.
You're fired.
It's better to fade out and die and burn and die and burn and fade away. Better to wait. I will fade out and I will burn and I will burn and fade and burn and fade away.
Andy is short-circuited.
I will. It's better to fade out and burn and to what? Burn and die.
Error. Examine.
Are you wait. Okay, Andy?
Take five. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bear on and to fade and to hear the lamentations of the women.
Can you do a Schwarzenegger ton-ton play something tragic?
Undone. Play something tragic.
I'm going to shit my pants.
Play something tragic. All right, guys, that's the show. Thanks for joining us.
And to fade and to burn and to die and to be.
He's a tranquilizer.
Oh, God.
What the hell?
I'm burning.
Casting.